Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and the deadly myths that are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines, while predicting how these events will shape our world. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason. And that is because His is the only reliable voice in an exceedingly disingenuous world. Our phone number over the next 2 hours, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is toll free, 877-300-7645. Over the weekend, thousands of demonstrators gathered in dozens of cities across America to commemorate Trayvon Martin. Every article reads the unarmed black teenager. You know, if Trayvon Martin was unarmed, then we need to strike assault and battery from all of 50 states' criminal tomes. Just say assault and battery is no longer to be considered a crime. That unless you have a gun, unless you have a knife, then you're unarmed. In fact, why don't we really need to change the word armed and unarmed, because it speaks of arms. I didn't recognize that Trayvon Martin had both of his arms amputated. You know, when arms no longer mean arms and he was unarmed, then I think we have a problem not only with our legal codes and lack of understanding of them, but a problem with the vocabulary. But commemorating this boy is absurd. He had the greater hand in his own death. There are hundreds of young people across America, thousands around the world, that die every day and have no hand in their own death. Why aren't we celebrating the shortened lives of those who had their lives extinguished through no fault of their own? Yes, Scott?
Because people aren't held accountable for their choices. He made a choice. He made the wrong choice. It led to his end.
That is correct.
He's not held accountable for his choices.
No. Now, is the fact that that he was a truant from school, the fact that he was caught with marijuana at school, the fact that he was defacing school property and became suspended from school a third time and at that time found in possession of stolen property, the fact that he was intoxicated with marijuana at the time of his death, and the fact that he was out to buy a drug concoction at the time, and the fact that he had texted and said, you know, I want to pick a fight, and the fact that he, not George Zimmerman, was the racist, you know, creepy cracker, as he described George Zimmerman. The fact that that all of that speaks against him only says we ought not be canonizing this man as the African community is doing. We ought not be singing his praises as the President of the United States is doing. Does that mean that he deserved to die? No. He's dead because he picked a fight. So he's dead.
He made choices.
He made a choice. And the difficulty of all of this is that the African-American community is being riled up as if they received an injustice. They're being riled up as if the entire judicial system works against them as opposed to for them. It's as if the African-American community, from the President of the United States on down, is now saying that evidence and reason do not matter. I don't want to consider the facts. I don't want to be informed. I don't want to make a rational conclusion on them. What I prefer to do is to be enraged. It's easier to be enraged. It's easier to blame my situation on somebody else. And that's what they're doing. And it is to their detriment that they are doing it. This article says that this unarmed black teenager was shot to death in a confrontation with a Neighborhood Watch volunteer early last year, and they wanted to add their voices to the debate on race that has led to his death. But that's untrue. Race had absolutely nothing to do with his death. It wasn't even mentioned at the trial. It had so little to do with his death other than Trayvon Martin being a racist, that it wasn't even brought up at trial. The FBI tried to investigate George Zimmerman. They spent who knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars searching into his past, and all they found was an appreciation and love for the African-American community. That's all they found in his history. Mr. Martin's father, Tracy Martin, addressing dozens of people outside the federal courthouse in Miami, said, quote, I vowed to Trayvon Martin when he was lying in his casket that I would use every ounce of energy in my body to seek justice for him. So, Mr. Martin, where were you that night when your son wanted to go buy a concoction that would intoxicate him further? When he was imbibing marijuana that night, where were you then? When it was raining outside and he wanted to go to the store, why didn't you drive him? When he was kicked out of school the first time for truancy, why weren't you there for him then? When he was kicked out of school the second time for drug possession, why weren't you there for him then? When he was kicked out of school the third time for defacing school property and being caught with stolen property, why weren't you there for him then? Why are you an absentee father? Why did you divorce his mother and leave the boy to be raised by his mother? Where were you? Why are you blaming someone else? Look in the mirror, Mr. Martin. He went on to say, I will continue to fight for Trayvon until the day I die. You know, if you had fought for him while he was alive, he wouldn't be dead. There is nothing more important than the contribution we make to our children. Just as there's nothing more important to Yahweh than his covenant family and his dedication and devotion to us, to protecting us, to teaching us, to guiding us, to lifting us up, to telling us the kinds of things that will make our lives richer and more joyous, while warning us about the kinds of behaviors that will make our lives counterproductive. That's what Yahweh does for us. That's the example he set. That is the essence of his covenant. And you neglected those things, Mr. Martin. You should have fought for him then. And he went on to say, and I will self-righteously be fighting for your child as well. We want to solve the problem of too many deaths in the African-American community. We need to teach the African-American parents, need to teach their children not to kill, not to commit crimes, not to use drugs, and to value their education, to seek jobs, and to do a marvelous job at their job, to stay married, to invest in their children. We need the African-American community to be accountable. That's how you fight for every child. Teach them the Torah. Teach them not to be dependent upon government. A disproportionate percentage of the African-American community is dependent upon government for handouts. You need to teach them, your children, to be responsible for themselves. Isabel Eugene, 16, who attended the rally in Miami, said, before Trayvon Martin, we took precautions, but now it's worse. It could have been my brother. Nonsense, little girl. Here's the reality. Blacks kill blacks at a rate that is 10 to 1 over the rate that whites kill blacks. If you want to protect your brother, then you need to influence other African Americans, not Hispanics, not Caucasians. That is not where the problem lies. Mr. Sharpton, who orchestrated all of this so that he could be in the limelight again, so that he would be empowered again, lying to his community for his own self-aggrandizement, then announced a plan to hold a protest in the Capitol in August to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs Freedom, where the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech, all to set up Mr. Sharpton to play to his ego. Mr. Sharpton said that he wanted to ensure aggressive federal investigation of Mr. Zimmerman and fight Florida's broad-based self-defense laws. Last Saturday we cried, he said, but this Saturday we march. Why don't they work? Just go to work. Stay married. Invest in the children. Do the right thing. Mr. Sharpton, if you want to help the African-American community, confront them with the truth. Tell them about the percentage of young boys and girls that are raised without both a mother and father. About the number of boys and girls that are raised in second and third generation welfare families. About the percentage of boys and girls that grow up to be thieves and murderers. About the real percentage, the actual evidence on the death of premature death of African-American boys and girls. Tell them the truth. And then once you start with the truth, build a foundation that is reliable. Don't lie to them. There is no reason to focus on the Justice Department. It did its investigation. It tried to find evidence on George Zimmerman. It found none. In fact, all the evidence that it did actually find was that this man supported the African-American community. He taught pro bono in schools African-American children. His business partner was African-American. His wife's best friend was African-American. His house guest for a prolonged period of time to help another neighbor out was African-American. His great-grandfather was African-American. His prom date was African-American. There is no evidence whatsoever that the man was prejudiced. And here's the reality, Mr. Sharpton. Even if he was prejudiced, even if he was aware of the facts that the criminal reports that are published by the United States government, by the FBI and the Department of Justice, show overwhelmingly that blacks inflict more murders and robberies and rapes upon blacks than whites do against blacks, and that if there is an interracial crime, it is overwhelmingly likely to be a black man raping, murdering, or violently robbing a white individual than the other way around. It's overwhelming, Mr. Sharpton. The problem, Mr. Sharpton, is you won't look in the mirror. Before you cast stones, clean up your own home. We'll be back to Shattering Myths in a moment. To Shattering Myths, I'm your host, Diana. This statement from Al Sharpton is amazing. We're going to focus on the Justice Department because Trayvon Martin had his civil right to go home that day. You know, it is unbelievably stupid. And he knows that he's lying. He knows that it's going to be interpreted his audience in a certain way that will enrage them. Yeah, yeah, he had his rights denied. A civil right violation must mean that that the person who killed him stalked him down because for no other reason than he was black and that he hated blacks and that he, without any provocation from Trayvon Martin, just killed him in cold blood. Now, we know for absolute certain that did not happen. We know that the FBI has invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to scrutinize every aspect of this man's past, trying to find some evidence of racial profiling. Couldn't find any. Some idea of racism. Couldn't find any. Didn't even make its way into the trial. It was non-existent. And the fact is, that was not his home that he was going to. His home was in another city with his mom. He was there because he was once again suspended from school. It was his father's home, and his father was estranged from his mother. He wasn't going to his home. He did not live there. And his civil right to go to his home was not infringed. He was out in the rain, wearing a hoodie, not on the sidewalks, but next to the buildings, with the components for drink, drug concoction. And he assaulted George Zimmerman. That is the reason that he is dead. Sharpton went on, we cannot have a society where any one of our children can be taken based upon someone's feeling that they had the right to stand their ground. So that's the other part of this. We want to change the laws. That now you must, if somebody wants to beat the living tar out of you, just take it, you know. So the fact that African Americans are vastly more prone to violence against whites than the other way around, it's now Mr. Sharpton's desire that if an African American attacks a white, the white is just to take it. Just let them pummel you. Pound your head into the concrete. Break your nose. Don't stand your ground. It is repulsive. He went on to say that, well, what about Trayvon Martin's right to stand his ground? Well, he did. In fact, he's dead because he did. It's a consequence. And what about our right to stand our ground? Why don't you consider it your opportunity, Mr. Sharpton, to get an honest job? Why don't you consider it your responsibility to tell people the truth? He also reiterated a point that Obama made during his speech the previous day. This is absurd. You don't know the humiliation of walking into a department store where you're assumed to be a suspect rather than a customer, Mr. Sharpton said. Yeah, Obama was talking about his experiences where he would walk into a department store and be looked at as if he were a potential thief rather than a customer. Now, that's absurd for two reasons. One is that there's a reason that their stereotypes exist. There's a reason when I walk down the street at night and I look over my shoulder and there's four or five black youths that are following me, that I'm going to be more concerned than if there are four girls from the local school sorority that are giggling behind me. And that is, the evidence shows that blacks are 39 times more likely to commit a violent crime against whites than whites are against blacks. Not 39% more likely, 39 times more likely. The reason that we stereotype is because the stereotype is earned. You don't want to be stereotyped, don't earn it. Yeah, Obama talked about the fact he walked into an elevator and a white woman would grab her purse, you know, clutch her purse more tightly. Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm walking in an elevator with that man, I'm going to grab hold of my wallet because he wants to steal it and everything in it. If you don't like how people respond, then change the behavior that is causing them to respond that way. People are responding rationally. What's irrational is the complaints that you want people to pretend that you're other than you are. If you're humiliated for walking into a department store and the security guards look at you as being more likely to be a suspect than a customer, then go to work, dress appropriately, present yourself appropriately, go into that department store as a customer, and stop going into the department store as a thief. And the stereotype will change. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment. Back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, 877-300-7645. So as we continue with Mr. Sharpton's statements, he says, you don't know the humiliation of being guilty until proven innocent. You know, there is no place that in this country that calls a person guilty until they're proven innocent. What is interesting, of course, is the opposite of what Mr. Sharpton did, however, was applied to Mr. Zimmerman. He became the most hated man in America. Even the news media purposely corrupted the evidence to make it appear as if George Zimmerman was a racist. He was found guilty in the African American community long before the verdict was read, which is why they were so surprised by that verdict. So there is humiliation in doing what you did, Mr. Sharpton, but rather than look in the mirror and say, you are the one who did this, it was not done to you, you continue to be a hypocrite. He says, you do not know the humiliation of people judging you by the color of your skin. Well, yes, Mr. Sharpton, that again is pure hypocrisy. You see, you are saying that people should not be judged by the color of their skin, and yet you are appealing to your community strictly based upon the color of their skin. It is the color of your community's skin that is your power base. You wish to isolate your community. You are appealing to your community, and yet you're saying that we ought not appeal to anyone based on the color of their skin. That is pure hypocrisy. You can't have it both ways. If we are not to judge people based upon common traits amongst races, then it would behoove people in certain communities to stop manifesting certain behaviors. Now, while I always make a genuine effort to disassociate Islam from Arab, the fact of the matter is that most Arabs are Muslims, and Islam is the most deadly and ruthless disease ever to infect humankind. Nothing is as destructive as is Islam. The fact that the overwhelming preponderance of Arabs are Muslims causes the overwhelming preponderance of Muslims to be or Arabs to be responsible for terrorism, not because they're Arab, but because they're Muslim. The African-American community in the United States, as a percentage, is hugely more criminal than is any other community. They're hugely more dependent upon government than is any other community. So if we're going to have the discussion, Mr. Sharpton, where you isolate your community, then we need to observe the facts related to your community. Of the 2,720 blacks who were alone murdered by a lone white killer, that was 91%, excuse me, it was 9% of the time that a black, single black male was killed by a single white male. That was 9% of the time. The fact that there are very few, relatively few blacks compared to whites, and you have to count that on both sides, you have to multiply that by 10 to get the number in terms of comparison of black to white killings. But just without looking at the percentage of the population that is African American versus white, Caucasian, the numbers are, Mr. Sharpton, that 9%, 9% of the time that a black is individually killed by an individual assailant who is white, that's 9% of the time. 91% of the time, when a black individual is killed, the assailant is black. Why are you trying to make a case out of Zimmerman when there is no case there? Why aren't you instead focusing on the mountain and not the molehill? Why must you convolute the facts relative to George Zimmerman to make your case? If you have to lie to make your case, you don't have a case to make. On average, whites are murdered by blacks at a rate of 18 times that of whites murdering blacks. 18 times, not 18%. You know, if it was even, then you don't have an issue. If it's an even, then all we're talking about is we should find a way to diminish the murder rate and leave race out of it entirely if it's even. If there's an 8% differential, and that 18% differential is in favor of one side or the other, you might consider race and the culture that is affecting race as being a component of the problem. But we're dealing with 18 times, and it's 18 times in inverse of what the Al Sharptons and the Obamas are telling the African-American community. 18 times, according to the U.S. government. On average, whites are murdered by blacks at a rate of 18 times that of whites on blacks. It even gets worse if we're dealing with violent crimes, and we consider all violent crimes, armed robbery, assault and battery, murder, rape. In this case, blacks are 39 times more likely to commit a violent crime against whites than whites are against blacks. 18 and 39. Those are the numbers. That's the truth. Now, it would be wise for someone who is concerned about violence against blacks to look into the culture, the communities, the conditions that motivate blacks to kill blacks and that motivate blacks to kill whites. What is it? Why are they doing it? Is it that the African-American community, particularly with the mothers, is absurdly religious and that the preachers are prone to promote racial propaganda? Is it? Is it because the government caters to them, that they are overwhelmingly more dependent upon government than are others? Is it that they don't value work and you have second and third generation welfare families? Is it that the family isn't prioritized and you're more likely to have a child born out of wedlock? Is it more likely in the African American community, and it is, for a young boy or girl to grow up without both a mother and father? What is it in the community that is causing these disturbing trends? When you're dealing with 18 times on murder and 39 times on violent crimes, the problem is so huge that there is no way to avoid the stereotype. It can't be. You would have to ask people to be wholly ignorant and wholly irrational to not be prejudiced with numbers of 18 times and 39 times. So that's what you want, Mr. Sharpton? Do you want everyone to be ignorant? Do you want everyone to be irrational? Do you think that your speeches will resonate better if everyone you talk to is irrational? If everyone you talk to is ignorant? Do you suddenly sound smart if people are stupid? It is absolutely pathetic what we have become as a country. From the President of the United States down, with his pathetic speech over the weekend on all of this, where he too was unwilling to address the facts, where he too was unwilling to be accountable, and even in his case, pretending to be, you know, this inner city youth that was raised in an African American slum, that boy, he too had all of this brought against him. His father hightailed it out of town. He was raised by a white Catholic mother and by the white Catholic's mother's parents. He was raised with privilege, went to the best schools. He was admitted into the best schools largely because he could claim that his father was black. What a hypocrite. Moving on to another story. Reuters is reporting that hundreds of convicts, including members of Al-Qaeda — there is no member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, this is Dateline Iraq — broke out of Iraqi's Abu Ghraib jail as comrades launched a military-style assault to free them. A military-style assault. So what we have is Sunni Muslims freeing Sunni Muslims. The Sunni Muslims are terrorists. They're militants. They're freeing terrorists and militants, and yet the reporter of this article isn't able to see that what this is fundamentalist Sunni Muslims as militants, acting as militants in a military-style raid to free their comrades, which are fellow Islamic militants. The deadly raid on the high-security jail happened as Sunni Muslims were regaining momentum in their insurgency. Well, they have no insurgency. Sunni Muslims are fighting Shia Muslims. As Yahweh said, their hand will be raised against their brothers, and their brother's hand will be raised against them. They're fighting one another in Iraq. They're fighting one another in Syria. They're fighting one another in Lebanon, the places where there are a divide between Sunni and Shias. Most places, there is a very, very small percentage of Shiites because they've been oppressed by Sunnis. But in the places where there is a reasonable divide, they're killing one another, just as they are in Syria. Suicide bombers drove cars packed with explosives into the gates of the prisons. Imagine that. having a imam tell a young boy or girl that your God wants you to drive a car packed with suicide, with explosives, into a jail to free people who have been convicted of murder. And that's what your God wants you to do. And if you do that, if you drive an explosive-laden car and blow yourself to smithereens and kill a bunch of innocent people while freeing people who have been convicted of crimes, then your God is going to reward you in paradise with multiple virgins. And yet the President of the United States would lie on behalf of Islam as well and say it's a wonderful, loving, peaceful religion that's left an enduring mark on the world. Well, it left an enduring mark in Iraq. Other militants took up positions near the main road, fighting off security reinforcements sent from Baghdad. 10 policemen, 4 militants were killed in the ensuing clashes, which continued through Monday morning. When helicopters arrived, which were, of course, American gunships, helping to regain control so that the Shias could enforce their will by mowing down Sunnis. By the time hundreds of inmates had succeeded in fleeing, we'll return to Shattering Myths on a related story after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It is with a tremendously heavy heart that I report the next story. After having mucked up the conditions in Tunisia, having played a tremendous role in mucking up the conditions that now exist in Libya, having played a major role in mucking up the conditions that exist in Egypt, having played a decisive role in mucking up the conditions that exist in Iraq, having destroyed Afghanistan, having been responsible for creating the conditions that have led to the Syrian war, having put a stick of dynamite with our weaponry to destabilize Pakistan, having made a bad situation worse in the Sudan and Somalia, the United States has decided that why not muck up the only place that is sane, the only place that is civil in the entire Middle East, so that now that we have screwed up everything that can be screwed up, now that we have supplied hundreds of billions of dollars worth of our weapons to enraged jihadists, why don't we turn on Israel? Why don't we go to the one place that we haven't completely mucked up? And while we're providing weapons for all of their enemies, let's go to them and force them to capitulate and give their homeland to these various militants that are destroying every country around them. Why don't we do that? What a brilliant idea, America. Well, the news out of Jerusalem is that Israel could be considering a monumentous concession that would change the course of 48 or 46 years of history with the Palestinians. I'm going to put Palestinians in quote. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. And any time we present that as the name of a distinct people group, then we're lying. CNN reported this. They're lying. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. There has not been a Palestinian for well over 2,500 years. The last Palestinian was annihilated by the Assyrians and Babylonians. They have no legacy. There is no, was never, by the way, a culture named Palestine. There was never a country named Palestine. There is no history of such a people. The closest we can get is the Philistines. And the only reason that Palestine is applied to the Philistines is because when the Romans put down the Jewish rebellion in 133 to 135 CE, they chose to rename the province of Judea Palestina because they recognized that long ago the arch enemy of the Jews had been this people that are only known to us through the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. If not for the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the name Philistine is not even known. There is no record of them apart from the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And so if you want to use a name that is only known to us through the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, then you ought to consider what the Torah, prophets, and Psalms has to say about the land known as Yisrael. what it has to say about Yahuda, and that it was Yahweh's gift to his children. Well, the news report says that as a show of goodwill and diplomatic murmurs by the United States and its Arab partners, why don't we say its Muslim partners, are stoking hopes that the glacial budge in Israel's position could lead Israel's Israelis and Palestinians to talk seriously about peace again. God, I hate CNN. To say the glacial speed of Israel's position. Israel's position has been reliable. It has been sane. The problem is that the Islamic position not only has changed, but it is insane. Reuters news agencies quoted an Israeli official last week who said that Israel agreed for a plan for peace talks based on pre-1967 borders and land swaps. If Israel does that, and they're going to do it, just a matter of time. I had long suspected they would do it around 2026, some 13 years from now. It's going to happen. There is a peace treaty that will be reaffirmed with many. It's going to be the catalyst that leads us into the tribulation. But 13 years prior to the tribulation is not all that early. It's going to happen. Israel is going to capitulate. A country like the United States, as the prophecies read in Yeshayahu 17 and 18, Isaiah 17 and 18, is going to thin Israel at the waist, going to loot Israel by doing so, forcing Israel to give up the Gaza Strip and also the West Bank. And as a direct result of that, all hell is going to break loose. It's going to bring on World War III, just as Czechoslovakia, being given by England to the Nazis, brought on World War II, and billions of people are going to die. We'll have more on this story on tomorrow's program.